Luke chapter 4, verses 4 through 21. This is the reading of God's Word. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the surrounding district. And He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear your word and not only believe but also obey your word. And Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, God, and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wanted this sermon to cover all the way up to verse 30. And then I realized that that would be too long. So we'll only look up to verse 21. And next week, we'll look at the rest up to verse 30. Now, verses 14 through 21 is a story of our Lord Jesus Christ teaching at the synagogue. And from verse 22, which we'll look at next Lord's Day, we see the reactions of the people who heard his teaching. But today, just on his teaching. Well, through his baptism, through his genealogy, and through his victory over the temptations, Jesus Christ, through Luke, is witnessed and certified by God at the baptism and acknowledged as the true Son of God and the true Messiah. And from verse 14, he begins his public ministry. And through that ministry, he establishes the kingdom of God. And that's what we are looking at in the book of Luke. Everything that he does, everything that he says, what is he doing? Well, he's fulfilling the kingdom of God. You know, it happened 2,000 years ago, but even today, that kingdom is furthering. But if we were to ask, how did that kingdom begin? How did it come in to this world? How was it established in this world? Well, it's not in the world, but that kingdom has come so that you and me, people like us, can be citizens of that kingdom. Well, book of Luke tells us how it all began. And it's not just Jesus coming and doing all these miracles and people are so excited and we expect him to do the same miracles today so that we could be rich and healthy. No, that is not what is going on. Luke is showing how he brought his eternal kingdom to us. And the reality of kingdom is witnessed through everything that he says and everything that he's doing. He witnesses and teaches the reality of the kingdom of God and the reality of the people who belong to that kingdom. So not only we're seeing what Christ is doing to establish the kingdom, we're learning also who he is because he's doing all these things, but also we're learning about us, who we are and how we are through all these stories. Well, verse 14 and 15, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. Well, after he was tempted by the devil, he returned to Galilee. And he began teaching in the synagogues. And verse 14 and 15 that we just read summarizes the ministry of Jesus in Galilee. The news about Jesus spread and the people praised his teaching. But as we will see next Lord's Day, not all welcomed his teaching. Well, what did Jesus teach? Well, Luke chapter 4, verse 33 gives us the answer. But he said to them, Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of heaven. And isn't it obvious if that's what he did, his churches today, we must do the same. We must preach the gospel of heaven. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23 says it this way. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Well, the healing part is witnessing of the reality of the kingdom that he is preaching. Because his kingdom is without sickness, without death. But the kingdom of God is established through Jesus' death and resurrection because the sins of his people. So we'll also read about his death on the cross and resurrection. Now Luke chapter 4 verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read. Jesus goes to Nazareth in the region of Galilee. And as you know, he was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. As it was his custom, it says, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. Well, Luke tells us this story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, whereas Mark and Matthew put it at way later. As we already have seen, to Luke, the chronological order is not as important as the theological flow to his stories. And I told you already, I'm not going to deal with all these so-called differences between the Gospels. If you read the gospel with that evil heart to find out what is wrong with the Bible, how you're going to prove that it is not God's word, then you will find plenty of things which I'm not going to discuss as we go on because I've been doing that for a while now. Now, to Luke. Bible is about Jesus Christ. And it is about His work in history of fulfilling the kingdom of God for His people. And because of what He has done, what Jesus has done and accomplished, the Bible also shows us, like we say, our eternal reality of heaven. The Bible is not revealing Jesus to us as a mere example. Some people point to the fact that Jesus, as His custom, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and say that the teaching of this story is for us to follow His example to go to the church every Lord's Day. No, that's not what this story is all about. Well, then what is it about? Well, let's continue our reading. Chapter 4, verse 16, latter half of that verse until 21. He, Jesus, entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So whatever that God has promised in that Isaiah passage, Jesus is saying, because I am now here with you, that all that God has promised is now fulfilled. That's what Jesus is saying. And we see the same thing as we read the book of Luke. Whoa! The Messiah is here and every promise of God is now fulfilled. Jesus read the passage from Isaiah and says, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus comes and fulfills all the promises of God. See, Christianity is not separate from the Old Testament, but Jesus is the Messiah who comes to fulfill all the promises of God in the Old Testament. We don't have to wait for another Messiah like Jews do. Even today, they're still waiting for the Messiah. But He already has come. Jesus Christ is He. And the fulfillment of God's promises is now centered in the church. Because the Israel of the Old Testament was a type of the church. But there are so many people out there who said, no, church is not fulfillment of the Old Testament. No, that will happen later to ethnic Jews. The church is just parentheses. Afterthought. Because Jews rejected Jesus, well, Jesus did not want to waste Him coming, so He said, "I will establish church." But His original purpose to fulfill the Old Testament, He said, "I will do it to ethnic Jews later." That's what so many people believe out there. No. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "It is fulfilled in your hearing." meaning that it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. We don't wait for the fulfillment in the future. It's already fulfilled. It's already fulfilled in the church. We are the witnesses of the fulfillment of the promises of God in the Old Testament. When I see you, not so much physical, but if I see your spiritual reality, oh, I do see the fulfillment of the promise of God in the Old Testament. Complete fulfillment. Perfect fulfillment. Well, you and I wouldn't do that well witnessing that, but nevertheless, it is fulfilled. Thank God that it doesn't depend on us. Because if it is just about what we could show, then even ourselves will not believe it. But no. The Bible reveals it. It shows our spiritual realities that has been fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the passage from Isaiah that Jesus read, verses 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And, verse 19, to proclaim. See, verse 18 has those four things, but all those four things can be summarized in verse 19. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. They are from Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2 and also Isaiah 58 verse 6. Now Luke quotes from Greek translation of the Old Testament. Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, but there was a Greek translation of that Old Testament at the time of Jesus. So Luke is quoting from that Greek translation. Isaiah 61, if I read to you verse 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. And Isaiah 58 verse 6, is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? So when you read the Luke's quotation, we could see that it is a little different from what we will read in Isaiah. Especially Isaiah 61 verse 2. In Isaiah it says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But Luke just has to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. It does not have the phrase, the day of vengeance of God. But you already know, the day of the vengeance of God and the day of God's eternal blessing, that's the same day. We saw so many times that the day of God's salvation is the day of judgment of God. The salvation of God's people is the judgment of this world. When Jesus comes, both things will happen at the same time. God's people, like you and me, will be saved, but this world will be judged forever. The passage of Isaiah is the salvation of God through the Messiah. Verse 18, the Spirit of God is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and set free those who are oppressed. Now, I read that passage so many times, even in this sermon, so that you will remember those four things. First, Messiah, Isaiah says, Messiah, when He comes, the Holy Spirit will come to Him. And the Messiah will be anointed, and He will be sent. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me and He has sent me. All those were fulfilled at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to understand the baptism of Jesus Christ as a fulfillment of what Isaiah says. That when He was baptized, the Holy Spirit actually came down upon Him. And He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and He was now sent by God to do the work of salvation. Jesus is proclaiming that the Isaiah passage is all about Him. That He is fulfilling the Isaiah passage. And like I said, there are four things that were said about the Messiah. He comes to preach the gospel to the poor. So Isaiah long ago said this. So when you see Jesus preaching the gospel to the poor, what are you seeing? The fulfillment of God's promise in Isaiah. That's how we are to see those events. Second, He came to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Now, all these things, yes, Jesus comes and fulfills it, but we need to be very careful. Yes, He shows the reality of that fulfillment by doing this literally. So He will actually heal a blind. But you are to understand what He's doing. It's not just physical. And I will explain. And this is important, but I know most of you understand what I'm going to be saying. But it will always be good to review. See, these four things, they are the content of ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ in what He does. And they will be the signs of spiritual reality that Jesus fulfills eternally. So even as He heals the blind, that is a sign, that event is a sign of the spiritual reality where spiritual blind is eternally healed to see the spiritual truth. So you are to understand these events in that way. Yes, the physical blind will be cured to see, but through that event, the eternal reality of the sinners who are spiritually blind will be able to see Jesus, who is God, and the reality of heaven that He is accomplishing. Yes, the gospel will be preached to the poor, but only the poor in spirit will accept that gospel and believe. The sinners who are captives to sin and Satan, they will be truly released. And the sinners who are oppressed by sin and Satan will be truly set free. The salvation of God will be given to them. So many people misunderstood these things only in terms of physical, terms of this world. There are so many false teachings as a result, like liberation theology and the social theology, for example. So that they will teach liberation theology, actual liberation from worldly oppressed country. That Jesus was teaching that. That's their focus. Because if you look at what Christ is doing only in the physical terms, the worldly terms, you're going to misunderstand the message of the book of Luke. For most of you, this is just obvious. Now, Acts chapter 26, verse 18 says this about the salvation of God. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. The phrase, to open their eyes, does not refer to their physical eyes being able to see physically. Isaiah has many passages that refer to the blind as the description of the sinners. Isaiah 59 verse 9, therefore justice is far from us and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope among the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none for salvation, but it is far from us. So there, that description of sinner is the blind. So when Jesus comes and cures the blind, it's not just physical blindness that he's curing. That's not what he's witnessing through that event. The salvation of the Gentile through the Messiah is expressed this way in Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. So do not understand these phrases literally. That all Jesus is doing is free the people who are in physical prison. No. Isaiah 28 verse 18, on that day the deaf will hear words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. See, in the Old Testament, the spiritual reality is expressed in a physical way. It is expressed in worldly way. Now let's go back to then what Christ is saying. The background to Isaiah 61. Is God is saving the Israelites, his people, out of the Babylonian captivity. So there God promised the Messiah will come and he will save his people. And that salvation of God is expressed in terms of the Jubilee. Isaiah 61 verse 2, the favorable year of the Lord. Or Isaiah 49 verse 8, a favorable time and a day of salvation. But, like we say, it is also the day of his vengeance. What is the favorable year of the Lord. What is the Jubilee? Well, Leviticus 25. Let me read that to you because we need to understand what this year of the Lord, the favorable year of the Lord is all about. We need to understand the year of the Jubilee. Leviticus 25 verse 8. You are about to count off seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years, so that you have the time of the seventh Sabbath's years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall now sow, you shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat of its crops out of the field. 7th year of 7th year, meaning 7 Sabbath year. 7 times 7, 49. 49 years after, 50th year becomes jubilee year. Now, they are to proclaim release. On 50th year, Israelites, they proclaim the release. All the debts are forgiven. If you owe anything to anybody, it's forgiven. The lands, the houses are returned to the original owner. During those 50 years, something happens, so you might have to sell your house, so it becomes someone else's. But at that 50th year, it is returned to you. If you have become slave, you have to sell yourself because something happened to you, then you are returned to your family. The release, the freedom is proclaimed, and the new beginning is proclaimed. Every 50th year, they were to do this. And most of you already see what that is all about. It's pointing to what Jesus Christ will accomplish. Jesus will come and proclaim the freedom, release. So every 50 years, they are to point to that by observing the year of the Jubilee. In Matthew, in chapter 6, we read the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Instead of the word sin, forgive us our sins, Bible actually has the word debts. So sins are expressed as debts. So forgive us our debts through what Jesus Christ has done and what He is accomplishing. God forgiving our debts. Yes, God is forgiving our sins in Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes and He proclaims this freedom. Through what I'm doing, all the debts are, meaning all sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Thus, the Old Testament Jubilee was pointing to the true Jubilee that Jesus Christ will accomplish. The eternal Jubilee, if you will. The heavenly Jubilee is perfectly accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is proclaiming in the synagogue in our passage. Jesus is saying it is the time for all the debts being forgiven. It is the time for the new beginning. That day has come, Jesus is saying. Jesus comes and fulfills the eternal Jubilee. It is just amazing. You gotta put yourself in that story. And then you hear. Every 50 years you do this, and your faith, if God has given you true faith, then you will realize one day the Messiah will come and eternal release, eternal forgiveness of sin will be accomplished. And they were waiting for that Messiah, waiting for Him to come and fulfill that eternal Jubilee. And here Jesus reading that passage from Isaiah and says that it is fulfilled in your hearing. Amazing grace. And if you were there and you understood this, you will cry out screaming, Hallelujah. But that's not what happened. You will see the reactions of people who are hearing this later, next week. Jesus is in fact saying, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm preaching to the gospel to the poor. I'm proclaiming the release to the captives. I'm recovering the sight of the blind. I'm setting free those who are oppressed. Look. I'm doing all these things, and these things are the reality of the Jubilee. Jesus is proclaiming that in Him, the eternal Jubilee is now completely and perfectly accomplished. And that is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For Jesus says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Another means now is the day of the Jubilee. The favorable year of the Lord. Paul is saying that in Jesus Christ, now is the day of salvation. Day of the forgiveness of our sins. This is our present spiritual reality, brothers and sisters. Jesus proclaimed it 2,000 years ago about you and about me. That our sins are now forgiven. Forever. Indeed, good news, no? Brothers and sisters, we are living in the eternal Jubilee. All our debts are forgiven by God. All our sins are forgiven by God. And if we are truly living in the eternal Jubilee, then we must forgive the sins of each other. When you realize that you are living in the year of the Jubilee, just like in the Old Testament, you are to forgive all the debts of your neighbors. Meaning that we are to forgive each other's sin, each other's debts. Through the Bible, you realize what has happened. You understand your eternal reality, and you believe and you live out that reality. You witness what has already happened 2,000 years ago. You show. That's why I forgive your sins. If there's any sins against me, I forgive. Why? Because I'm living in the year of the Jubilee. It's not about morals. It's about what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. Don't take these things to moralism. As if you forgive because you're a better person than other people. It's not because I'm better. It's because of what Christ has accomplished. I have no choice. Because of what Christ has done, I live out that reality. Man, you have so many thinking when it comes to doing these good things. You say, no, just get rid of all that. You do it because of Christ. Yes, there is a person who you could consider enemy, and there's no way you could love that person, no way you could forgive that person. And you have so many reasons not to forgive him or forgive her. But understand what Jesus Christ has accomplished, brothers and sisters. You don't have any choice. Because it is the year of the Jubilee. Our behavior, our actions, is in terms of what Christ has done and accomplished. It's only in Christ. Eternal Jubilee is accomplished, which means the eternal forgiveness of our sins are accomplished, which means the eternal salvation has been accomplished, which means the eternal kingdom of God has been accomplished, which means the Holy Spirit, He now lives in you and me. Holy Spirit has descended upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. God has sent Jesus to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And these things are what is happening as you read the rest of the book of Luke. And you will read about all these events. And that is exactly what this is all about. Jesus is the Messiah, and who is fulfilling the promises of God, which means He is fulfilling the kingdom of God. We see Jesus Christ fulfilling the promises of God through the book of Luke, and all that is to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. You remember all those four things is summarized to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord? Everything that we're talking about in the book of Luke, it is to proclaim the year of the favorable year of the Lord. See what has happened to you. Yes, you cannot see with your physical eyes, but through the Word of God. See what has happened. It's a new beginning. Because all my debts are forgiven. I pray that you will hear Jesus' word. Hear it, brothers and sisters. Jesus says, today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you see your eternal reality of heaven? Do you see your present spiritual reality? Do you see that you are living in the eternal jubilee? Do you see how happy you are? Can you picture the 50th year? Every 50th year, there were so many Jews who had to sell themselves as a slave just to eat. There were so many debts. And they had to sell their houses just to eat. But on that Jubilee year, everything is forgiven. Can you picture the happiness of that person? And we're talking about enormous debt when it comes to our debt to God, our sins. There's no way we could pay all that. And here's God on eternal jubilee day says, hey, all are forgiven. And you're gonna tell me you're not happy? Why are you not happy? Not being happy is sin. And stop sinning. And be happy. All are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven. And the new beginning, the beginning of your eternal heaven has begun. Rejoice. And even as you hear the voice of Jesus Christ, rejoice and give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're facing out there, it will pass. We'll all die. And at the end, all those things will not matter that much. It doesn't matter that much. And that day when you're ready to see your Lord, what He says to you, all your debts are forgiven. That is the only thing that matters. Oh, brothers and sisters, I beg you. God, I don't see in the Bible God begging people, but I'm, as a pastor, beg you. Be happy. And when you see me, and I'll try to do my best when I see you, let's show one another how happy we are. Please. Smile. And be happy because of Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the year of the Jubilee that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Yes, Jesus came 2,000 years ago preaching to us the release of the captives. Set us free from who were oppressed. And You preached the gospel to us who were very poor in spirit. Oh Father, You cure our blindness that we now see Jesus Christ and we see the way to Him. Yes, just by understanding what has happened to us, there's no doubt that the favorable year of the Lord is now fulfilled. Let us go out and witness that reality. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.